गोपी जना बाला बागर बारा धारी गोपी जना बाला बागर बारा धारी यशोदानंदना व्रज जनरंजना यशोदानंदना व्रज जनरंजना यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन बाला गिरे वरधारी जय गोपी जन बाला गिरे वरधारी यशोदानंदना व्रज जनरंजना यशोदानंदना व्रज जनरंजना यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन बाला गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन बाला गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजना यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजना यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजना यमुना तीरावनचारी Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Radha Madhava Radhe Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jayam Vishnupat Paramahamsa Parivrayakacharya Astotra Satasisimat Abhai Charanara Vindabhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridasa Thakur Ki Jai Premse Kaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadada Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Sri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Granta Rashi Mad Bhagavatam Ki Yani Taigora Premanande, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Ajnati Mirandasya Jnananjana Salakaja Shakshurum Militan Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitan Yena Bhutale Svayan Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Siyuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvare Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Hare Krishna. So we're reading from the ninth canto, chapter, third chapter, text 10. సుకన్యాచ్యవనం ప్రాప్య సుకన్యాచ్యవనం ప్రాప్య పాతిం పరమకోపనం పాతిం పరమకోపనం ప్రీణాయం ఆసచిత్తాగ్యా ప్రీణాయం ఆసచిత్తాగ్యా అప్రమత్త నువృత్తిభిః అప్రమత్త నువృత్తిభిః సుకన్యాచ్యవనం ప్రాప్య పాతిం పరమకోపనం ప్రీణాయం ఆసచిత్తాగ్యా అప్రమత్తనువృత్తిభిః
బోలో
పతిం పరమకోపనం ప్రీణయామసచిత్తాగ్యా అప్రమత్తనువృత్తిభిః సుకన్యాచ్యవనం ప్రాప్య పరమకోపనం శ్యావనం ప్రాప్య పతిం పరమకోపనం ప్రీణయామసచిత్తాగ్యా అప్రమత్తనువృత్తిభిః
వైష్ణవీస్
పతిం పరమకోపనం వినయమసచిత్తాగ్యా అప్రమత్తనువృత్తిభిః సుకన్యం చవనం ప్రాప్య పాతిం పరమకోపనం ప్రీణయమసచిత్తాగ్యా అప్రమత్తనువృత్తిభిః సుకన్యాచ్యవనం ప్రాప్య పతిం పరమకోపనం ప్రీణయామసచిత్తాగ్యా అప్రమత్తనువృత్తిభిః
సుకన్యా. The girl named Sukanya, the daughter of King Shariati, Chyavanam, the great sage Chyavana Muni, Prapya, after obtaining Patim as her husband, Paramakopanam, was always very angry. Prinayam asa, she satisfied him. Chittagya, understanding the mind of her husband. Apramatta anuvrittibhi, by executing services without being bewildered. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. Chyavana Muni was very irritable, but since Sukanya had gotten him as her husband, she dealt with him carefully, according to his mood. Knowing his mind, she performs service to him without being bewildered. This is quite an important purport. So please listen carefully. This is an indication of the relationship between husband and wife. A great personality like Chyavanamuni has the temperament of always wanting to be in a superior position. Such a person cannot submit to anyone. Therefore, Chyavanamuni had an irritable temperament. His wife, Sukanya, could understand his attitude, and under the circumstances, she treated him accordingly. If any wife wants to be happy with her husband, she must try to understand her husband's temperament and please him. This is victory for a woman. Even in the dealings of Lord Krishna with his different queens, it has been seen that although the queens were the daughters of great kings, they placed themselves before Lord Krishna as his maidservants. However great a woman may be, she must place herself before her husband in this way. That is to say, she must be ready to carry out her husband's orders and please him in all circumstances. Then her life will be successful. When the wife becomes as irritable as the husband, their life at home is sure to be disturbed or ultimately completely broken. In the modern day, the wife is never submissive, and therefore, home life is broken even by slight incidents. Either the wife or the husband may take advantage of the divorce laws. According to the Vedic law, however, there is no such thing as divorce laws, and a woman must be trained to be submissive to the will of her husband. Westerners contend that this is a slave mentality for the wife. But actually it is not. It is the tactic by which a woman can conquer the heart of her husband, however irritable or cruel he may be. I'll read the sentence again. Westerners contend that this is a slave mentality for the wife, but factually it is not. It is the tactic by which woman can conquer the heart of her husband, however irritable or cruel he may be. In this case, we clearly see that although Chyavanamuni was not young, but indeed old enough to be Sukanya's grandfather, and was also very irritable, Sukanya, the beautiful young daughter of a king, submitted herself to her old husband and tried to please him in all respects. Thus, she was a faithful and chaste wife. Hare Krishna. So Chyavanamuni, it seems almost that he had made the arrangement that Sukanya will, you know, hurt this worm so that he could get her in marriage. It appears like that, anyway. But in any case, it was like a bad match, right? Sukanya was a very young princess. She was very beautiful. And Chyavanamuni was old. He could hardly walk. He needed assistance to walk. His veins in his body were all prominent. So you can imagine the situation that Sukanya was placed in. But the emphasis in this verse is given on what is the proper behavior of a chaste wife. What are the duties of a wife? So generally, this could be misinterpreted, could be misused, and it has been misused. But this is how the woman should look at this. That the woman, the position of the man is by nature's arrangement to be in a superior position. They're physically stronger. They are the providers. Women are dependent on men. Men can remain single if we want. But a woman, to remain single, will not be so conducive for her. So by nature's arrangement, the position of a man is put in a superior position. Yet we should understand that this superior and inferior doesn't mean that the man is better than the woman. It means it's just the way it is. Like you have different things, they have different natures. You know, like a melon has a particular flavor, and a pomegranate has a particular flavor. You cannot change it. So similarly, man's nature is to be in a superior position, and the position of the woman is to be in a submissive position because it's in an inferior situation. Of course, as Prabhupada points out in the purport, modern Western civilization may rebel against this idea. And in fact, we're hearing how they're trying to make society genderless now. But we don't care so much about these people, and the fact is that the result of not following this in the Western world, we have seen that the family institution is very much disappearing in many places. You know, Prabhupada quotes in one purport that 99.9% of families in the Western world, they are dissatisfied. And the family values are greatly decreasing in the West, particularly, because people are not following these principles. So as I said, it's not that women is less by doing this. It's that if women want to get what they want, that's how they get it. By being submissive. And it's applicable even outside of marriage. Whenever you have someone who is in a superior position, then the way to conquer them is by being submissive. We have multiple examples of this. I was just thinking of when Vasudev was on his way to his home after his wedding, and the omen came and Kamsa was about to kill his wife. Vasudev didn't start to fight against Kamsa, saying, "You're a fool, you know, how can you do this?" He was submissive. He said, you're very intelligent, you know, you shouldn't. And by being submissive, he gave advice. Similarly, we find that Krishna is the most powerful personality, is the supreme person, right? But yet, Prabhupada said, in one lecture, Prabhupada was saying, there is no one greater than Krishna. And then from the moment he stopped, he said, well, actually, yes, there is one more great person greater than him. Who is that? Srimati Radharani, But she, and how does he conquer? How does she conquers him? Through selfless service. Through selfless service. Similarly, how do we conquer Krishna? Through selfless service. And generally, I mean, here we could apply these principles for non-devotees and for devotees. But for devotees, even more kind of relevant and easy in one's way to apply. That, yes, actually, I should be willing to sacrifice my own desires for the purpose of pleasing my partner. Because it applies, we're now focusing on the lady's side for the time being. We'll touch upon the men's side. But again, the principle being made clearly, we have to establish is that, women are in an inferior position in that sense, And if they want the marriage to work, if they want to control their husbands and to get their husbands to do what they want, the way to do it is by pleasing the husband with a submissive, subservient attitude. Now, what does this mean? Like Prabhupada saying, it doesn't mean that the wife becomes a slave to the husband. But it means that the nature, you know, the husband is like the breadwinner, you could say, generally in a traditional role. And when he comes back, she should be willing to serve him as a menial servant, you know, keep the house clean, look very beautiful, speak sweet words, and please the husband. And it's nothing wrong with doing this. Actually, the nature of the woman, we're talking of the nature of the man, is to be in a superior position, but the nature of the woman is to follow and to search for protection. Women wants to be protected. Their main reason for marriage and for their security is actually security. They're looking for security. So in order to get the best side of her husbands, they have to behave like this. Some ladies may be cringing here. I don't know. Maybe you are all wonderful devotees. Living in Mayapur, we're more into the Vedic way of being. We will be presenting these points, you know, modern Western audience, it will be more difficult. But still, if it's presented like in a nice way, because Prabhupada, I was looking at different quotes, so that to get a balanced understanding of what Prabhupada is saying. And it's not imbalanced. It's not, this is the duty of the wife. What about the duty of the husband? That's something else. We'll talk, as I said, we'll mention. The husband has to act in a way that the lady will want to act like Sukanya. Now, I find particularly inspiring all pastimes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, because they give us very, very extreme situations. So in one sense, to give us no excuse. We have, you know, Parikshit Maharaj being cursed. It was unfair. It was injustice. But he didn't complain. He did the course, and you know, he did the right thing. We have so many examples in the Bhagavatam of people who are put under extreme conditions, and they do the right thing. So we here have the example of Sukanya. It's a very extreme situation. You have a princess, young, beautiful, accustomed to live comfortably, and she's married to this old, grumpy man, because it's plain, yeah? The word in Sanskrit is given there. It says, Parama Kopanam, who was always very angry. So no was he only like ugly and old, but on the top he was, you know, old, and he was, you know, angry and irritable. Now what was her consciousness? Because we're not expecting this from any woman nowadays. It's too much, right? Nothing, there is many Sukanyas living presently. But yet, the principle is there that, you know, she had, first of all, she had accepted her situation, you know. And this brings to the point that why do we get married in the first place? That's what I was saying for the devotees. In one sense, it's, you know, it's more easy to understand. Because why do we get married? What is the purpose of marriage? In the Western world, is to enjoy, to, you know, to have a happier life. But for us to get married, we get married because we want to become better devotees. Actually, that's, you know, we want to go back home, back to Godhead, and we want to become the better version of ourselves. Right? Needless to say that we need, those who get married, they need to get married. So there are desires there to be fulfilled, but we fulfill those desires with the purpose of pleasing Krishna. And in fact, you know, we are, whatever we're doing, our family life is an offering to Krishna. We want to please Prabhupada. You know, there's so much need of good grihasthas in the movement. You know, it's being a lot of casualties, unfortunately. And a lot of the casualties have been caused by misusing this type of statements, you know. Women should be submissive, and, you know. So the man memorized this. Okay? So whenever the wife is not being submissive, then he blames on her. Huh? Marriage, you know, this, how can we work? How can, you know, I'm working hard all day and come back and you're just complaining that I don't give you enough time. This usual thing. So the purpose of marriage is to go back home, back to Godhead, to assist each other spiritually. So when we understand, when we put Krishna in the center of our activities, like Sukanya did this. She accepted her situation and she acted according to her duty. And it's such a foreign kind of concept for many of us born in a Malaysia culture that actually if we want to be happy, if we want to be satisfied in life, we achieve this by pleasing Krishna, and the best way to do this is by following our duty. When we follow our duty in Krishna consciousness, even though it may be very difficult, the mind becomes satisfied and becomes, you know, peaceful. However, when we actually follow the dictates of our minds and we act selflessly, selfishly, then what happens is that we become restless and dissatisfied. And it becomes very difficult to practice Krishna consciousness. So this is an extreme example. She accepted her will and she was able to control her husband. Because if you look now in the following verses, what was the result of her behavior? She controlled Chyavanamuni. Chyavanamuni wanted to become a young man again. She controlled the Asvini Kumaras. Her father came. And her father thought that she had given up her husband, but actually not. She was controlling the situation. It's like they say, you know, if the wife, because it's the nature of the man to want to give protection. So like Prabhupada explains elsewhere in the Bhagavatam that, in a purport, that the wife, when she is protected, she becomes the source of auspicious energy for the man. So now look, we can shift now to the man's duty. So what is the duty of the man? The man's duty is to give the wife protection and to make her feel secure, to make her feel, to provide her with whatever she needs, to make her happy. And when the wife is happy, it's very easy to act like Sukanya. Right? So the principle is here that she was successful even with a grumpy husband. Of course, Chyavanamuni wasn't fallen. He was just old, you know, and irritable. But he was a great personality. So she's serving properly, and then she ultimately got her desires fulfilled. So what if we do the right thing with a husband who is nice? What will be the result? Will be much better. So then the duty of the, and then, as I said, the husbands should not think by reading these statements that a wife is my servant. You know, this is the misconception. You know, sometimes when we speak like this, it's like some the worries get upset. Kind of, I become really surprised, you know, when we say, well, actually the husband should serve the wife, should make her happy, and should fulfill her desires, and some devotees become very upset. But actually, Prabhupada very clearly explains in many different places how what are the duties of the husband. And I'll read a few quotes from Bhagavatam, because this is very relevant. And okay. You say, actually, a woman, this is not Prabhupada, actually the woman is supposed to be the energy of the man. It's paraphrasing from Prabhupada. Okay, here it is. No, this is Prabhupada himself. He says, when thus protected, women as a class remain as an always suspicious source of energy to man. Elsewhere, a chaste woman bring their gentle husbands under control by service. The pure devotees, who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of the heart, bring me under their full control. This is Krishna speaking. Okay. Some of the quotes. He says, there is no difference between a good wife and good intelligence. A faithful wife is supposed to cooperate with her husband in fulfilling all material desires, so that he can then become comfortable and execute spiritual activities for the perfection of life. Another one. A successful Krishna conscious marriage is not for sensual satisfaction. It is a duty performed in mutual cooperation for spiritual and maturity, for spiritual advancement. So Prabhupada's perspective wasn't just that the lady should, you know, like this situation is extreme, that the lady should, just serve the husband, and the, you know, we men should just not care and be a bit like Shravana Muni. But Prabhupada's instructions to the men was that we should behave in such a way to make it very easy for the ladies to behave like Sukanya. And how do we do this? By giving her security. The lady must feel very secure in the marriage. And so this is, you know, is by giving security means also giving her affection. There is a nice section in the Bhagavatam, like it says that all the wives of Krishna, they felt that Krishna was a henpecked husband controlled by each one of them. Of course, we know that Krishna was not henpecked, and we're not promoting that a man should become henpecked in the wives of a woman. But she should feel, you know, externally that he is subordinate to, he will do anything for her, even though the man is still in control. So a henpecked husband, for example, a bad example of a henpecked husband is, in this case, Maharaj Uttanapad, with the case of Dhruva Maharaj, right? Dhruva Maharaj, you know, he was on the, he tried to jump on the lap of Suruchi, and Suruchi insulted Dhruva Maharaj, and he was encouraged enough to chastise his wife there in front, because he was henpecked, controlled by his wife. But still, the point, and what it means to be to actually, when we're saying that Krishna was, you know, their wives, they felt that he was henpecked, it means that they felt completely secure, that Krishna will do anything for them. Like he went and got the Parijata tree for the wives. So it is very, very important for men to understand this principle also, that it is a being in a superior position also means that we are stronger and we are less vulnerable to be influenced by Maya, by nature. Okay? So therefore, we should do anything which is necessary and required to make sure that our wives, they can actually behave in the proper way. Does it make sense? Or not? So the husband, you know, instead of taking advantage of the situation of the wife, the husband also acts like a servant. And now there is a nice story I read, which I was struck with this. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, a new married couple, came to him. And they were asking for advice, and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he told the husband that actually it's going to be very difficult to do your Hari Bhajan in married life, so many obstacles. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur and this husband, they went to see Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. This is his biography, in the folio you can find it. So they took him to him, and Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, now he is like supremely renowned person, eating mud in the Ganges sometimes. So he said to him, "This is wonderful." He said, "Now you should cook food, prasad, offer it to Krishna, and feed your wife, and eat her remnants." Okay, and then you should serve her in every way possible. So food for thought. I won't comment. I'll just repeat the story. But I will say that the principle there also is that when we come to married life, as I said, we're supposed to make progress in Krishna consciousness. And making progress in Krishna consciousness is giving up this controller and enjoyer mentality. If that's what we want in a marriage, to become the controller and, you know, have a mate, you know, as a wife, then don't get married, you know. We're getting married to nourish each other and to assist each other in Krishna consciousness and to ultimately become freed from the bodily conception of life. And this can be only attained when we follow the principles of married life very, very nicely. And what is the result of this? The anarthas in the heart will disappear. So for a husband, for a wife, it is very important to understand, like Sukanya did, that actually this marriage situation, like Prabhupada explains, is like a fortress which is going to protect me from Maya. And if I do my duty as a husband or as a wife to the best of my ability, if I am able to compromise my expectations, my desires, for the sake of making the marriage work, I will become successful and I will become free from my desires and I will ultimately be going back home, back to Godhead. Having that kind of conviction and acceptance, it will make things very, very successful. And then, like I said, Prabhupada in the purport, in one of the verses, he's saying that, you know, Krishna was giving so much affection to his wife. And he says that Lakshmi, I'll read the purport actually just quickly, so I don't paraphrase, but let's see if I can find it. This is Krishna speaking to Rukmini. "My dear beautiful wife, you know that because we are householders, we're always busy in many household affairs and long for a time when we can enjoy some joking words between us. That is our ultimate gain in household life. Now, if the wife is supposed to be a slave, like that, where is the room for this?" Srila Prabhupada comments, "Actually, householders work very hard day and night, but all fatigue of the day's labor is minimized as soon as they meet, husband and wife together, and enjoy life in many ways. Lord Krishna wanted to exhibit himself as being like an ordinary householder who delights himself by exchanging joking words with his wife. So he said, we always speak of the goddess of fortune as being placed on the chest of Narayan. So in other words, this is from elsewhere, the wife must remain embraced by her husband. Thus she becomes beloved and well protected. Just as intelligence is always within the heart, a beloved chaste wife should always have her place on the chest of a good husband. This is the proper relationship between husband and wife. A wife is therefore called Ardangani, or half of the body. One cannot remain with only one leg, one heart, or only one side of the body. He must have two sides. So for men, it is very, very important to understand also that we need our wives. You know, it's not a burden actually. It's Krishna's gift. It's Krishna's servant being sent to us to look after for. And this is the point that Gaura Kishore Das Bhava Maharaj was making. That we are the servants of them. Because they are Krishna's servants, and we should assist them in every way possible. By giving her whatever they need. And when we do this, then we'll derive the ultimate benefit of the Grihastha Ashram. And gradually we will become detached from each other in a proper, healthy way. You see, the problem a lot of the time is that a lot of the time men want to they act very detached, but they're very attached internally, you know. But what we actually want is man who may act like they're very attached, okay, but internally very detached. That's a real man. And a real man is able to provide a shelter even if the wife is not acting like Sukanya. It is wrong to blame, when the man is blaming the wife because she is not submissive, she is not like that. Generally, that's not a man. A man should actually do what is required to make sure that his wife behaves in the proper way, that the wife feels protected to act in the proper way. Needless to say that there is so many different cases, so many different situations. There may be the case where the wife is not submissive, where the husband... But the general principles should be properly understood and assimilated so that we can actually apply them in our lives and be an example for the rest of the world. We were just studying about the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know. Such a eternally liberated soul. And he came and he performed the role of a Grihastha. And he executed his duties perfectly. Why? Prabhupada himself, he was also a Grihastha. And his situation wasn't favorable. And because his situation wasn't favorable, it's not that he gave it up. He remained in the Grihastha ashram for a few decades. So we have to understand that because the situation in the Grihastha ashram becomes uncomfortable, this is not an excuse for us to give the Grihastha ashram up, but it's an excuse for us, or an impetus for us to apply these principles. And when we apply these principles, then purification of heart takes place. And the real peace that we're searching for will come. But we may come into any relationship for that matter with so many expectations. And what happens when we have high expectations? We always remain dissatisfied. Always. Yeah? Because there is no ideal wife, there is no ideal husband also. You know, no matter who you marry, you know, how much your percentage is of compatibility or whatever, there's going to be fights, there's going to be quarrel, there's going to be dispute also. So we should also understand this point, and Prabhupada repeatedly said this, that when a husband and wife quarrel, don't take it seriously. Yeah? Just don't take it. They may chow, they may do whatever. But we should always bring it back to this. We want to please Krishna. And we want to make, and you know, ultimately what the purpose of married life is to bring up Krishna conscious children. So who is the first guru of, who is the first guru? The mother. So if the mother is not submissive to the husband, what is the kid going to learn? It's going to learn to be submissive? So it's so important to follow these things. And when everything is followed nicely, then we create great progeny. And like it's being, you know, statistically proved that, you know, children that are born in stable families, they are more prone to be successful in life and to be stable and have good families. So it's a lot in Prabhupada's books in regards to the Grihastha ashram, and it's very important that we study it carefully and we read it and we contemplate it and we apply it. Because ultimately if the movement, most of the people in this movement, they're going to become Grihasthas or they are Grihasthas already. And we need to set the proper example. And we have the knowledge. People in the, you know, people don't know these things. How it works. So yes, if a woman wants to get her husband under control, serve him nicely. Yeah? And the wife, the husband's heart will melt. And the husband is willing to actually give service to the wife. He is willing to make, to provide for her. Because that also feeds his ego. Also, the ego of the man is that he wants to give protection. He wants her wife to look beautiful and to be nice and to be happy and to be protected. So these are the mechanics. And almost always work. Maybe there may be exceptions. When the husband is very unqualified, when the wife is very unqualified. But here we have a very extreme example. And even if it doesn't work in the sense that, you know, we may serve the an unqualified husband, still we'll get purified. Even we serve an unqualified wife, still we get purified. Nothing to lose. But when we become bitter and we complain and we stand to blame the other person, then the problem, that's, you know, the Maya is already there. So many unprotected women in ISKCON, unfortunately. So many. So who is, you know, I think it's more for the men to learn from all this than from the women, to be honest. If we look at the history of ISKCON from the 70s. But it's still, the women need to learn as well. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions or comments or corrections? Sorry? Slow. Is the effect of Kali Yuga that? The last word I don't understand. Why these things are happening? What things? Yeah. Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga. What happens in Kali Yuga? Everything becomes deteriorated. And what is the deterioration? Deterioration of character. That's the biggest thing in Kali Yuga. Both for men and both for women. So we have to make even a stronger effort. You know? Okay. I was expecting a lot of opposition. Nice. Thank you very much for hearing. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.